Albie Pearson has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Let me take you back to 1958. You finally get the call up to the major leagues. It's with the Washington Senators. And tell me about the first time you went into Griffith Stadium.
Ron, the rookie year, it was a I think I probably remember in Griffith Stadium the maybe the size of the ballpark in right field with a 32-foot high fence just the old atmosphere of the place. But I can remember a couple of things if I have a moment to share. I can remember my first big league game when we went over to Yankee Stadium, we had a shortstop named Rocky Bridges at the time. His place was taken by a youngster named Zoyo Versalles. Anyway, in our first ball game in Yankee Stadium, the first three guys flew out to me in center field, and it looked kind of strange because the grass was high and a couple of funny jokes came up to it. But Rocky ran by the Yankee dugout, and he said, "Hey, I bet you guys didn't think we had anybody out there, did you?" To me, it was kind of funny because it seemed like the whole ball game I was catching fly balls, and seemed like nobody was out there. But the Griffith Stadium in itself, and you watched ball games. I guess my most fond memory was probably throwing out the first pitch by the President of the United States, and us trying to go for it. But I do remember my first at bat and. A big pitcher, 6'7" from the Red Sox. He was pitching, and it was a little bit nervous. But my memories of it were just the feelings like, how can a little guy from Southern California and I've reached the big leagues? It was kind of it was just an awestruck time for me. But it was vivid memories I can still remember. And when you were 13 years old on that time.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that I remember about it is that I used to be a paper delivery boy for the Washington Post. And every time they'd have these promotions where if you got more people to subscribe to the paper, you could call in and maybe your lucky number would be the one to get a couple of tickets to the ball game. And I always was trying to, get them. And I got a lot of them over the years and taking that trolley and going up there and watching the game. The other thing that struck me, Albie, was the fact that the crowds were a little bit different. It was the nation's capital. You're absolutely right that opening day every year, it was the president throwing out the ball. And that was something very special and unique. But I always found the crowds to be a little bit different. Did indeed you find it that way?
You know what? I need to say this. I'm sure that there was boo birds in every crowd, and of course we only won 70 ball games that year, and lost 91 I think or 90 at the time. But I noticed something that I had experienced all my life. At my size, I never seemed to get booed. I was one of those guys that I was, oftentimes the guys who never made it big or didn't have a whole lot of money or whatever, they'd come to the ballpark, and I never had an enemy. Nowadays I don't know, but back then it was a real crowd that they never booed anybody back then. I guess they were happy that we'd win a ball game. But of course, you heard the old saying, "Well, here we go again, first in war, first in peace, and last in the American League."
The other thing, too, is that in 1958, you were the American League Rookie of the Year. And then in the next year, you struggled, and that's when you went on to Baltimore after that. Tell me a little bit about what happened. Why the drop-off?
You know, I went to Cuba, and I was making the minimum salary for a major league player at the time was $7,000 for a rookie. Well, I was Rookie of the Year, and I went to And I had a chance to make $1,350 a month to go to Cuba for 4 months. Well, I had three little kids, and I'm 24 years old now, just turned 24. And so I went down, and I got a viral flu bugger down there. And I came back, I weighed 129 pounds, and I was just sick. So we opened the season, I just didn't have any strength, and it didn't show up very well, so I was traded over to the Orioles. But I remember when I went into Calvin Griffith, who was the owner. We had no leverage, of course. There was no union structure at the time, and so I walked in to get to sign up my second contract. There was no multi-year contracts, only just annual contracts. So I walk in and I said, "Albie, sit down." He says, "We can take a look at your contract, and you're rookie of the year, and you made $7,000. We're going to give you $11,000 to play." And I said, "Mr. Griffith," I said, "I was the best rookie in the league," and I began to describe what I did. And he says, "Well, I'm aware of that." I said, "Well, I really think I deserve $12,000." And he said, "Albie," he said, "listen, we finished last with you, and we can finish last without you. It's $11,000. And I didn't want to go back home, but I'd have signed anything at the time. In fact, to be honest with you, Ron, I'd have played baseball for nothing if they'd have paid my bills.
Tell me a little bit about playing down in Cuba, because a lot of the athletes did indeed, play down in the Caribbean or South America or Cuba as you did. What was that like?
Well, Ron, I was there when Fidel Castro took over. He came out of the mountains there with a bunch of youngsters to take over Cuba. And I remember him coming into the city, and he the baseball was shut down for 8 days. And when he got into the ballpark, on the eighth day, he took over the nation, and he came in to make the first speech that he was to make in the Cuban stadium there. I was playing for the Havana Reds, and some of my teammates, like Camilo Pascual, Pedro Ramos, they were playing with other teams. And he got up and he stood up, and he said, "There'll be no more stealing in Cuba." Now, Camilo Pascual was sitting next to me. I couldn't speak Spanish, and he began to describe to me what Fidel was saying. He said, "No more stealing in Cuba. I'm going to take from the rich. I'm going to give to the poor." And then he said, when he said no more stealing, and everybody laughed, and sitting in my dugout were kids, literally as young as 12 years old, 13 years old, carrying M1s at the time. And I remember young Zoyo Versalles was playing for another team. He became the Senators' outstanding player. But I remember getting on first. I was facing Tom Lasorda, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I get a base hit to right field. And I get the first base, and I'm looking across the diamond, and I had a steal sign. And I'm thinking, steal now? He said, "There's no more stealing in Cuba." And then he said, "Not even bases." And everybody was laughing, but I'm thinking, gosh, there's M1s. I don't want to get shot on my way to second base. But anyway, long story short, I stole second. But for 8 days, I watched very difficult times. I watched people killed in the streets and hand grenades going off, and my wife was going down to get milk at a store. It was something that was so surreal to me, but those are vivid memories. And, of course, down there when I got ill and I came back, I was traded over for a player, and I went over to Baltimore. But that was an interesting time.
I bet it was. Of course, Major League Baseball did expand to the West Coast, and when they had the expansion draft, you were selected by the new franchise in the expansion draft as the 30th and last pick for the California Los Angeles Angels, and you were kind of coming home there. Tell me about those early years of baseball coming to the West Coast, meaning Major League Baseball.
Well, Ron, I'm not too sure I was the 30th drafted, but I knew I wore 28. I guess I thought I was the last one drafted, and I'd sent a letter to the famous, our boss at the time, Gene Autry. He'd gone down to Florida to get the rights to broadcast and telecast Angel games. Well, he ended up buying the team for $2.5 million. I couldn't tell you how much the team's worth now, probably, I don't know, close to $1 billion. I don't know. But I can recall that that I'd written a letter before I was put into the pool. And I said, And Fred Haney was the general manager. I said, Mr. Haney, I said, I was born and raised in Southern Cal, and I would like to have you consider drafting me out of the pool. I'd like to come home and play. My back has been as well. I had a bad back during the with Orioles. I said, but I can still play. Would you draft me? And he, and I was the last player drafted there, and I got to go home, and it was the first major league game I ever played in, of course, was in Washington. It was the first major league game I ever saw, because I was raised in Southern Cal. We didn't have major league baseball. But when I got to go home, my gosh, it was a time when it was a totally different atmosphere in the West than in the East. And I'm not against the West and East, but it was just different. And people were so excited to have baseball. I can remember that one year, I think there was 91,000 in the Coliseum with the Dodgers, I think, when they came out in West in 58. And, of course, when we were formed in 61, we were the other people, or the other and other folks in town, and so we leased Dodger Stadium from 62 through 65.
And of course, in the first game, you're the answer to a great trivia question: who was the player that scored the first run? And that was you in a 7-0 win over the Baltimore Orioles. How did the Southern Californians take to American League Baseball?
Just like kids to a candy store, really. I think the first game we did play was in Baltimore, my first, and I did score the first run ever. I think my roommate, Ted Kluszewski, hit two home runs, and we did. I think we beat Milt Pappas 9-2, if I'm not mistaken. It was, like I say, Ron, it was like kids at the candy store. I can't tell you the excitement that people had, and I can remember playing in old Wrigley Field, our first ball game, before we leased over Dodger Stadium in 61. And I can remember I walked down that same hallway when I was 7 or 8 years old getting autographs from the AAA Pacific Coast League players. And I was just awestruck. And here I was, now I'm 26 years old, 19 years later, and I'm walking down that same old tunnel of an old ballpark. But coming out on the field, the people, like I say, were like kids at a candy store. It was really neat.
We got about 90 seconds left. When you think back over your career in baseball, the stadiums you played in, the teammates that you had, the people that you played against at a particular time, I mean, that was a wonderful time for baseball. Tell me just briefly, quickly, some of the brief images that you still have in your head, Albie.
Well, freeway series, for one, facing Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale, Johnny Potteries in our freeway series, and beating the Dodgers in our first game ever in the freeway series. That's the remembrance. But being able to be in the All-Star team and for the L.A.'s and just getting an opportunity to be in the last game Ted Williams played in and hitting a home run in the bleachers over my head, I remember. But the fond memories of men that were... the kids are bigger and stronger, and I'll hurry it up right now, today. But the guys of my era played with real heart. And we were the trial and error guys that the kids nowadays can thank, I think. Being 5'5 and get a chance to play, wonderful times.
And also Yankee Stadium, I would assume that was kind of awe-inspiring as well the first time you walked in there.
Oh, my gosh, yes. First guy I faced was Whitey Ford there, I believe, and later on got a chance to hit a couple of home runs off of him, and the Mickey Mantles and the Yogi Berras and the Billy Scowens, great pitching. It has its own nostalgia, and I'll never forget it either.
Albie, I want to thank you very much, not only for what you've done in baseball, but also what I know you've done outside of baseball with the ranch that you have for the kids and everything. Thank you very much for sharing your career with us and your life as well. Take care. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline.
Ron Barr, thank you so much, and God bless.
Albie Pearson with us again, the former center fielder in Major League Baseball, who played 9 seasons, starting out in 1958, which was his rookie season, with the Washington Senators and then the Baltimore Orioles. And he finished up when he was part of the expansion draft with the Los Angeles California Angels. He was only 5'5", 132 pounds, but he certainly did play as a big-time player, and I remember seeing him play that rookie season in Washington, D.C. We continue with more of You and Sports Byline.